Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday, October the 1st. Happy October. Thanks for joining us for coffee today for episode number 85 in the bunker out here in a field in southern Saskatchewan, where it is still snowy and wet and will be for a few more days. I'm your host, Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm Rocky, he's Bullwinkle.
I loved that show as a kid.
I wondered if you're old enough to get it.
Okay, Rocky.
Dan, that's good. That's good. Boy, we got a lot of things to get to today. I'm fired up. And if anybody's been on Twitter for the last 20 minutes, in the last 20 minutes, you'll understand why. And we're going to get to that. But to map out today's show, coming on the program from Global Regina, Taylor Shire, just ahead of him going to Mosaic Stadium to cover Canada's team in their first practice of the week. CTV Regina's Don Hewitt, Canada's newest blogger, does such a great job. And our NFL insider, Jim Lang, coming up to a recap week 4 in the National Football League. Show number 85. And Peter Labardius as well. Thank you, Clark. Peter Labardius coming up as well. I didn't have him written down on my notes. Show number 85. Number 85s?
Yeah.
I have two.
Okay.
Kyran Moore, Swerve, of the current Saskatchewan Roughriders, and the hero of the 1990 Stanley Cup playoffs, Peter Klima.
Whoa.
He of the Jofa Bucket.
Yes.
Do you have one?
Yeah. Well, maybe my favorite football player of all time, Chad Johnson. Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco. Yeah. Yeah, good one.
Loved him as a kid.
I'm just penciling Lou in. How did I forget that? Morning sports, Mason Rudolph threw for 229 yards and two touchdowns to pick up his first victory while filling in for Ben Roethlisberger on Monday Night Football as the Pittsburgh Steelers easily handled the Cincinnati Bengals 27-3 last night. Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict was handed the most severe punishment in NFL history for an on-field infraction on Sunday. He was suspended for the rest of the season for a helmet-to-helmet hit on Colts tight end Jack Doyle. The latest I heard this morning is he's going to appeal that.
Of course. And that's what the PA would do. They would appeal it, as they should. But no, he deserves it, for sure. No remorse. The way he's blowing kisses to the crowd as he's leaving after he's been ejected of the game.
Yeah. Right. And in a related story, Simone Lawrence named CFL Player of the Week, voted on by the fans. Probably all Ticats fans, from what I can see. He beat out Cody Fajardo in the voting by the fans. For the fans' choice, Shaw, Player of the Week, number one star, if you will. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about what do you do with repeat offenders that just aren't getting the message, like Simone Lawrence. Suspended 2 games for a headshot on Zach Caleros. Fined the max amount for a headshot on Logan Kilgore of the Eskimos. He's not getting the message. Matt Cook, Tom Wilson, back in the day, you know, Ken Linsman, if you will. Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
Guys that aren't getting the message. I didn't know what the answer was. The NFL found it yesterday. You suspend him for the rest of the year without pay, and that's what should have happened to Simone Lawrence. And why the CFL couldn't figure that out, I'm not sure, other than to give him Player of the Week. Because he had 17 tackles Friday night in Winnipeg, breaking Reggie Hunt's record. And it's a shame that a Hall of Famer like the Reaper would see his record fall to a thuggish type like Simone Lawrence, which I believe that he is. And I know the Ticats fans love him. Great. That's fine. You know, Oiler fans love Ken Linsman back in the day. Bruins fans love Brad Marchand. But if you got to hold your nose to cheer for a guy because he's on your team, which is what I assume they would have to do with Simone Lawrence, it's embarrassing for the CFL. You got the NFL taking things seriously and suspending Vontaze Burfict for the rest of the season for headshots. And what he did isn't that much different than what he did, in my opinion, to Logan Kilgore up in Edmonton. The guy was going down. He went out of his way to target him and hit him in the head. And now he's player of the week. It's shameful. I'm getting a lot of pro and con reaction on Twitter. Yeah. Where do you stand on this?
You can't have it in the game anymore. You can't.
No.
It's just, there's no place for it, and we're so aware of it that, I mean, one thing to be making the big hit, and you make contact with the head, but now it's such a focus, right? I mean, protecting our heads, protecting our brains, concussions, it's such a public issue. And there's so much information available. You can't have it happen. And it's tough because the league sees Simone, and he is a star in the league. He's a popular player community,
yeah.
Right? He's a good player. He comes with star quality. He's got a name that people remember.
So he can do whatever he wants.
And that's kind of what it turns into a little bit, that you can do whatever you want. And that's where the league's got to come down and decide, okay, are we going to protect the stars, including Simone Lawrence, or are we going to protect the players and their health in the game and,
he's knocking
and not worry
out
about it?
The stars.
Right? And when it comes down to it, I'd be interested to see the TV ratings, because I know in the NFL, the TV ratings are correlated a lot with the health of the quarterbacks. And I think that's who you have to protect. And there's not many left starting quarterbacks from the beginning of the season. It'd be interesting to see what the ratings are. I know last year, you know, looking at the NFL ratings, there was only one starting quarterback, really, that went down during the year, and it was Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. And what happened after he went down? Nobody wanted to watch the San Francisco 49ers play anymore, and they weren't very good after that. Their ratings dropped. But ratings overall in the league last year were up because all the quarterbacks were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the teams are worth watching when you've got a healthy quarterback. You have to protect the quarterbacks, and I don't think, you know, the game is not bigger than Simone Lawrence. And God forbid if it happens again. But that will be D-Day for the league to decide what to do.
It'll be D-Day for Simone Lawrence, because this is what got me thinking about it. I thought, with the Burfict suspension, good for you, NFL. You're getting it right. Now the CFL, I'm sure, will follow suit. And less than 24 hours later, he's named Player of the Week, guy who did the same thing. Now, what I also got me thinking about this is with repeat offenders. Do you know what SGI does if you're a repeat offender? And you end up in front of their board, which I've done. You know what they do? They take your license away. They don't fool around.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're a star player, a star broadcaster, or a chef. Right. A star chef. Obey the rules or you're not driving.
Yeah.
And the NFL took away Vontaze Burfict's license to drive. That's what the CFL needs to do to Simone Lawrence. So that's when you said the next time it happens, I think he's treading on some pretty thin ice right now.
Should be.
Because the next headshot that he delivers, he should be gone for the year. He has to be.
Yeah.
And not celebrated as player of the week. Now, 17 tackles the other night against the Blue Bombers. Could they have ignored him as a candidate for player of the week? I think they could have.
Yeah. That's part of the, well, he didn't deliver the headshot last week while he got the 17 tackles.
It just looks bad for timing that he's player of the week.
Yeah, the week after. It's a little bit of the Vernon Adams Jr. thing when you hit him in the head, probably shouldn't have finished the game, or you hit him with the helmet, and then you're named player of the week, too. That's back-to-back players of the week that maybe aren't the most flattering for the league right now. But, yeah, I don't know what to do.
From Mark, watching in the Maritimes today. Thank you, Mark. Ships ahoy, me mate. Rules should be the same no matter if it's regular season or playoffs or whomever does it. Now, those should get stiffer for repeat offenders. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, I'll use the SGI model. They don't care who you are. You have too many tickets. You're driving too fast. You're walking. Doesn't matter who you are. By the way, to our poll question that I put up a couple of hours ago from our Twitter feed for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, who is the 2019 CFL Coach of the Year so far? I got four candidates. Did you see the poll?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but I could imagine who.
Craig Dickinson,
yeah.
Kahari Jones, Orlando Steinauer, or other. Because there are other coaches besides those three that have done great jobs this year. Mm-hmm. And other right now has 1% of the vote. I think we nailed the top three coaches.
Yeah.
Through the opening two-thirds of the season, who do you think's leading?
Kahari Jones.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Another one correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
You win a free coffee from Caliber Coffee.
But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they finish the year, too. Orlando Steinauer deserves a ton of credit for what he's done in Hamilton and continues to win games. And they don't get any credit at all. So my vote right now might be on Orlando Steinauer, but Kahari Jones, he's definitely deserving. So is Craig Dickinson, too. I mean, that team lost their starting quarterback three plays into the season and continues to be on top of the West, which is outstanding. But, yeah, it's a good poll.
I voted for Craig Dickinson, believe it or not. But Kahari Jones is leading 46% of the vote. Craig Dickinson has 44%. Orlando Steinauer, 9%. And other, 1%. You got 22 hours now to vote on that poll. Things we'll get to when we bring in Taylor Shire of Global Television after the break and Donnie Hewitt coming up from CTV. The Jordan Williams-Lambert situation. Donnie Hewitt's calling it a controversy. They're paying him $150,000 per year prorated, and they're not playing him. We talked about this a bit yesterday, but it's not going away. We'll talk about that with these guys. NHL opening week, dupes.
Yeah. The Eve.
Sens at Leafs tomorrow night. That should be a mere speed bump for the Buds, I would think.
You would hope so. But,
yeah.
Yeah, Ottawa's coming along. I'm really excited for the season to get started. Really am.
Mm-hmm. I see. So is Eric writing us on Facebook. Happy NHL season eve, everyone. Go Leafs, go. Where do all you Leafs fans come from?
I don't know. You know what?
You're like when you lift up a sheet of plywood out in the field and 2,000 mice scatter everywhere. Where do these Leafs fans come from?
It's a free lesson on marketing and promotion. And people aren't
television.
But people aren't going to come about for your name. They're not going to come just because it's the Leafs. We become fans of the Leafs, or we become fans of a team because we learn who the players are.
Right.
We learn who the coaches are. We learn the stories of the history that happens through radio and television. So important. And with the Leafs being on every Saturday night, the fan base was big enough that they carried a national audience, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Okay, couple things before we break. Sponsor bell. As the boys said in the morning meeting, ring the bell. For Modern Men. Is it Hair Salon, Tyler? Yeah. Modern Men Hair Salon. And a shout out. What's the gal's name down there?
Tammy.
She was in here, right?
Jasmine did my hair.
Tammy, Jasmine, out on Victoria Avenue East. They're right around Victoria Avenue East in Arcola where they intersect, right? Modern Men, our newest sponsor. We've got a few more to go. Clark asks me to ask you to type, I want a haircut. In the comments for a chance to win a free haircut from Modern Men. And hopefully we can get the suave and deboner Taylor Shire to go to Modern Men because there's a guy that's debonair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing, on the set, you'll notice something new. You'll notice something new from our friends in Calgary. And you were giving me the background to tell the story. And I said, you are the guy that brought the helmet here. So you tell the viewers what we have here.
Okay, pause for a second.
And 45 seconds or less.
I'm not the guy who brought the helmet in. It wasn't me going on getting the Dinos thing, but it was gifted to me from the Dinos. So I don't want the Huskies and Rams coming after me because I went out and got a Dinos helmet. Johnny Carr is a great friend. He's the equipment manager, and he does everything for the Dinos. He's maybe their MVP. But he's like, you need something for your set that's red. And I was in Calgary.
I would agree, actually.
I'm like, I don't know if I can take this on the plane. I said, but you're in Saskatoon next week and I'm driving. He's like, I'll bring you something. So sure enough, he brought that. He said he's got a hat coming too. So I know Bob Thomas over at the U of R, I'll be making a stop over there. He told me to come by because those equipment guys are competitive.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to have something Rams. And so looking at the Huskies now too, and maybe the rest of Western Canada.
One-upping each other.
Well.
So we got all these gifts here. We got stuff from the Pats, the Raiders, the Warriors brought that in. The Rattlers giving this, right? I'm waiting to hear from the Rush. Hey, and the Blades have been strangely silent.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. But the dinos is the piece de resistance so far on this desk. And as my friend Kathy wrote earlier last week, she goes, you're going to need a bigger desk after the PA Raiders hand-delivered their Raider bobblehead the other night. Or she said, you're not going to have enough room on the desk. And I said, then we'll get a bigger desk.
Yeah.
Maybe, can we build some shelves up here? Where's Paul?
We could build a shelf or two.
Too busy building a wall
over
there.
Well, we can add it to the shelf behind me, too. There's some space on the shelf. We can move some of the water bottles around and the hat and stuff like that.
We've rambled too long. Taylor Shire in next. This is the warm-up. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Tuesday morning. Quick sports update from Connor the intern. Game one of two Major League Baseball wildcard games is tonight. The Milwaukee Brewers on the road taking on the Washington Nationals. The winner will face the LA Dodgers next round. And Wednesday night, the NHL regular season starts. Four Canadian teams will be playing. Ottawa's in Toronto and Edmonton is home to Vancouver. And we got a message on the Facebook wall. Luke George, in all caps, writing in from Ochapaway's First Nation this morning. Roddy, Ethan Bear made the team. Woohoo! So all of OCHAP is, if they weren't Oilers fans already, they're all going to be dialed in on the oil.
Yeah,
do we know who the starting goalie is yet for the Oilers tomorrow night? It better be Mike Smith. I've been following him that closely. I got my mind on other things. We're going to be bringing in Peter Labardius in a moment. Taylor Shire joins us from Global Regina. How are you, Taylor?
I'm doing great.
Hey, you gave a great rider update the last time you were in here as you were headed out for day one of the practice week. Can you give us another one? What are you going to be following today?
It's going to be the same as last week because I think I said Jordan Williams-Lambert is going to be with the starters last week. I assume he's going to be with the starters this week. However, after the performance of Manny Arsenault and Naaman Roosevelt last week in the win over Toronto, which one does he replace? Or do you stick with the status quo? I think that's the problem that they have right now. They're on a roll. They have a good team. There's good chemistry in the locker room. There's good leadership out there. you don't want to ruffle any feathers at this point. And I think by taking out one of those veterans, there's a chance that you could ruffle a few feathers, right? And mix with the chemistry that seems to be working right now. So could be another week where he sits on the sidelines. In my opinion, Jordan Williams-Lambert should play, but I don't know if he will.
Is it becoming a thing down there?
Not yet. I imagine Jordan Williams-Lambert is eager to play, but I think he also understands that it's a team game, team before self. And a lot they're preaching down there, team before self. That's kind of their motto down there this year. And so I think all the guys are buying in. Even talking with Naaman last week, he understands that if it's his turn to sit, he'll accept it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's telling us that, and right. I believe him. And, what is he actually thinking? I mean, nobody, no veteran player or rookie player for that wants to sit.
No.
Right? Everybody wants to play, but you also have to understand there's a greater good and a goal, a team goal, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever the coaches decide.
Just ahead of Calgary Flames broadcaster Peter Labardi is joining us live from Calgary. Taylor, your thoughts on Simone Lawrence being named the number one star of the week in the CFL, the player of the week, despite being a repeated headshot offender. Clearly, I've made my thoughts known. If this was the NFL, he'd be suspended for the entire year. And the CFL's holding him up as player of the week. What's your take on that?
Well, he was the player of the week, and I would say he had 17 tackles, so it's enough to get a player of the week award. Should he have been playing? Probably not. In my opinion, they should have definitely... I think they fined him the maximum amount for that Logan Kilgore hit.
They did.
It was the same thing. The Zach Collaros hit. If you're a repeat offender, why are you getting less than what you initially got? He got 2 games for the Collaros hit. Should be getting at least 4 games for this hit. You don't get less of a fine.
No.
Right? SGI, your SGI point. If you have one infraction, your second infraction, we'll just fine you. We'll give you a little warning there.
I think SGI is the perfect parallel.
Yeah, no, it's great. I've never heard that one before. Everything should work on top of the previous one, right?
Yes, we are in a society. We believe in second chances above everything. We always want to believe that people can be rehabilitated and that people make mistakes. We're very forgiving. But when you do it again, and then you do it again, and you do it again, I don't know. It shouldn't be lesser.
No. He's not learning. So that's just our way of making the CFL aware of what we think should happen. Anyways, we talk about opening night in the NHL. It's tomorrow. It's Thursday that the Calgary Flames will visit the Colorado Avalanche. Peter Labardius, the longtime Flames radio man, joins us this morning from video chat. Lou, how are you? Good, sir.
I am awesome. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you just fine. By the way, I sure wish way back in Saskatoon talking about SGI that I didn't back into that gas pump one day at 7-Eleven. It cost me a lot of money.
Could always be worse. The main thing is nobody got hurt, Lou. Yeah, that's the main thing.
No, just my empty pocketbook. But outside of that, you're right.
Yeah, nobody next time you'll pay attention. That's why SGI knows what they're doing. Lou, this morning I'm reading from NHL.com, the predictors, everybody. I see all these different teams' names near the top of the list in the West and the East. But Calgary was fairly habitually picked to win the West by a lot of the writers at NHL.com. So I would assume in Calgary they're pretty excited about their hockey team here on the eve of the new season.
Well, they are. And, Rod, I think what's going to happen in Calgary this year is they came off a first-place finish in the West, 107 points. But it's an odd scenario in the fact that this team, A, needs to take care of business, get into the playoffs. But when this group will really be judged, if indeed they take care of business, is in the second and third week of April. So it's an interesting time. I truly believe this team is a good team. As I said on your show last year, it's moved into a different neighborhood. I think it's one of the better teams in the National Hockey League. But guess what? If I've learned anything, 1 year is not unto the next. Thing happened. There are injuries. Things change. And what this team is going to have to deal with is expectation, because there are brand new expectations of what this team can do and is all about. And how do I know that? How did you just start this conversation, Mr. Peterson. It started with people picking the Flames as potentially one of the best teams in the West. I know one thing. If we had this conversation a year ago, that wasn't the case. Was
no, not at all.
No.
Go ahead, guys.
Where does this top line sit right now through camp and getting ready to start the season? And what are the expectations of that group? Because I know that, you know, they were really good during the regular season and maybe didn't quite have the playoff that everybody was hoping for.
Double D, they were great through 60 games. The fact of the matter is Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm were not great down the stretch and had a very, very difficult time in that five-game playoff loss at the hands of the Colorado Avalanche. What I think is so much of the attention went towards Gaudreau and Monahan, and rightly so, but in many ways wasn't viewed properly in my estimation, is one of the drivers, if not the driver of that line, was Elias Lindholm. And Lindholm, you know, he went all the way from 45 points to 78. He takes faceoffs on the right side. He's part of your power play. He's part of your penalty kill. He's trusted in absolutely every situation. And I think part of what happened to that group last year is Elias Lindholm may have run out of gas. And even in asking about it this September and this fall, he said that, yeah, things got more and more difficult down the stretch. So it's going to start that way, those three guys. This team has good players, lots of them, lots of options. And further to my first answer, Darren, is in many ways, especially Monahan and Gaudreau, it's time for them to take their game to a different level, especially in April. But you got to get to April to be judged in the playoffs.
I think a lot of people throughout this season will be talking about the offseason trade and who won, who lost. So where does Milan Lucic fit on this Flames team?
Well, they brought him in, Taylor, not to necessarily score a lot of goals. They brought him for his experience, how he fits with a more veteran-laden team, and more importantly, maybe than all of it, they brought him in to be a deterrent. The Flames, since the loss of former Moose Jaw Warrior Derek Englund, have felt that they have not had that in their lineup. And as you guys know, the game has changed. When you talk about being a deterrent, doesn't mean you have to fight every day. In his case, you might not have to fight more than once or twice a year. But what it does is a couple of things. It just makes everybody around you feel a little better. For example, take Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew finds himself in all kinds of, you know, agitating situations. It's a little easier to go in there and deal with it if you don't have to kind of be answered and have the answers for everybody. But that's a big reason for him, his leadership. There's a lot of trust because of their days in Boston for Flames associate coach Jeff Ward. And let's not forget that Lucic has been through a lot. He lost his father 4 years ago, committed suicide. And I think in the first 2 years after in LA and even the first year in Edmonton, in life, where do we go to when things are awful? We go to our happy place. And for him, I think what really helped him deal with that was hockey was his happy place. The last couple of years in Edmonton, not so happy. And from my own personal experiences, when you're not so happy and your happy place is gone, then what happens to the rest of it? Now, I know that's more Dr. Phil than anything else, but he looks happier. I'm not, in closing, Taylor, going to judge this trade the same way others. I'm not going to compare James Neal to Milan Lucic because I think their roles are very different and very needed in both those places, even though I'm going to get asked that question a million times as the year goes on.
Lou, we got a lot of comments coming in on the Facebook wall, and most of them are saying that you're looking young. So I thought I would pass that along as we bid you adieu.
I'm feeling a wee bit young.
All right, Lou. Enjoy Flames practice, my man, and we'll do it again here down the road.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lou. Peter Loubardius letting the good times roll from the I was going to say Olympic Saddle Dome, but that's going back a ways. Actually, next time I bring him on, we'll talk about the new arena and that whole thing in downtown Calgary. But I don't know. You guys, I got Taylor in here, who's a Montreal Canadiens fan. Darren DuPont, who's a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. That's a nice little balance, I would suggest. Sure. Me being an Oilers fan, out of the closet now, we'll be very closely watching the James Neal, Milan Lucic progress throughout the season. And I understand that they do different things. That's fine. The question will be who's benefiting their team more. And how you dictate that will depend on different things. Stats, plus minus, goals, assists, fights, if that's what Lou says that it is. And he's going to ride shotgun Lucic, whatever. Just win, baby.
Yeah, Clark, you're going to have to get we'll get a board. We'll have the two guys, and we'll have head-to-head recaps kind of on a weekly basis.
If anybody cares. I mean,
I think it's something that people will be following for a while, especially in those two fan bases who won that trade. A lot of people saying that both teams won the trade because you're getting something.
So when it happened, I said both teams lost the trade.
I remember that, too.
And I'm not sure that that's not entirely incorrect yet. So we'll see. And interesting watching Dave Tippett yesterday after the Oilers put Sam Gagne on waivers and said he doesn't play defense. He won't play defense. We want a guy that can play, kill penalties in our bottom six forwards. He doesn't do that. So see you later. So anyways, Oilers in good hands there. Continuing on, there are some other topics that I want to get to today. And we will revisit the Jordan Williams-Lambert trade talk. There's no talk from the teams. It's just media buzz. But it's you got a high-priced talent. You can't even get onto the roster. Maybe you move him. Who needs him? We'll discuss that. Charleston Hughes is saying he should be the most outstanding player in the Canadian Football League. That's what he's saying. And it is somewhat mystifying that he's never won it. He's never won the defensive player of the year, let alone most outstanding player. And that's a little mystifying. But I would suggest, Charleston, just go out and play. He's being paid handsomely. He's doing his thing. What do you need accolades for? What do you really need them for? I want to talk about that. It is October 1st today. I don't know if you guys noticed, if it came up in your Facebook memories, where we were, some of us anyways, 3 years ago today. Did it come up in yours, Darren?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, the very first ever game in Mosaic Stadium, Rams Huskies. I was at the microphone for it, hosting the broadcast. Were you?
I was hosting downstairs on the sidelines, so on field level.
Biggest crowd ever for Rams Huskies. Ever.
And how cool was that, though, for you and I to be part of the first ever broadcast of a football game?
Really awesome.
At
you don't
the
ever
new stadium.
Forget that.
Never.
I was in the stands, and it was, what, plus 25 that day?
Oh, it was awesome.
Beautiful day. Perfect day.
A little bit different. Are we going to see that come around before the snow's here to stay forever, do you think? Is it going to get warm again?
Yes.
Yeah, there'll be another stretch.
Good, because I got to get my Jeep out to Milestone, Saskatchewan, and my brother, the cowboy, was literally laughing at me on Sunday. It's going to be a chilly ride for you out there in Big Bird. Yeah.
I'm laughing too.
Right. Indoor slow pitch league tonight. Is it slow pitch or baseball? What are we doing at Ballers tonight?
Slow pitch.
Is it slow pitch? I sure hope so.
I hope so too.
We've been signed up in the Great Western Indoor Ball League. And the reason I ask what we're playing is because I said to Abu Meshrick yesterday, what are you doing tomorrow night? He says, I'm playing baseball with you jokers at Ballers. I said, good. I didn't know that you'd been invited.
Good.
So check our Instagram stories tonight for the full hijinks, the zany hijinks of the Rod Peterson Show team. Because we do everything together here.
Yep.
That's what I love. So all of us are going to be down at Ballers. And do you know who we're playing tonight? Who's the roadkill?
I don't know.
We don't know? Doesn't matter.
Is that their team name? Or did you signal every opponent the roadkill? Because we're just going to ride over.
Roadkill.
Yeah.
Now, Dion is watching in Cranbrook, British Columbia this morning. He says, congrats to Cale Fleury on making the Montreal Canadiens. And I love the fact that there's a lot of kudos going around. Cale Fleury from Carlisle, Saskatchewan. I can only see Carlisle from here, I always like saying. Breaking news. Wow, there's a lot going on today. As Bob Cole would say, everything's happening. From TSN. Notification, San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane has been suspended 3 games without pay for the physical abuse of an official during Sunday's preseason game against the Vegas Golden Knights. So you got the NHL throwing the book at Evander Kane for roughing up a linesman, which we all saw.
Yep.
The NFL suspending Vontaze Burfict for the entire season for his headshot. And the CFL celebrating theirs by making him player of the week. How do we feel about the three-game ban for Evander Kane? I love the fact that Taylor, an ordained official.
Yeah.
With the Saskatchewan Hockey Association. Do you mind that I defer all officiating-related topics to you?
That's good.
How do you feel about the three games? You probably wanted him gone for 30 games.
The year. Nah, it's it has no place in the league, and I don't think that abuse of an officials is a problem. Headshots in the CFL and the NFL, for that matter, are a problem. I don't know if officiating abuse is a problem in the NHL, so... The three games is fine.
Here's how I look at it and I mentioned this earlier in the week, yesterday, was with the abusive official or with supplemental discipline and suspensions, it's supplemental because it needs to be taken into consideration that it wasn't handled on the ice. I thought kicking him out of the game, they handled it. They delivered the right penalty. So probably in terms of how bad it was, didn't need a suspension. But the three games just shows you that we're not tolerating any kind of contact with the referee at all.
Jonathan Rose.
Yeah.
What happened with him? What did he do?
Let's recap it. And can I pause for 1 second?
Go ahead.
Producer Clark, he's very sharp, people. Real nice, Clark. He's come up with this moniker for you, Taylor. You are the Rod Peterson Show Director of Officiating.
Perfect.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's fine.
We got a Director of Scouting in Craig Smith. Now we have a Director of Officiating in Taylor Shire. And my request to you would be to show up in an official's jersey.
Yeah,
I can
would
do
you,
that.
Would you do that?
I can do that, yeah.
I think that would be fantastic. So anyways, Nelson's watching from Phoenix this morning, and he says, the NHL, another league that gets it. You're going to jerk around, you're going to pay for it. Three games to Evander Kane. The whole season to Vontaze Burfict. And the CFL going to make Simone Lawrence player of the week. And Jonathan Rose last year in the East Final roughs up an official, knocks him over somebody on the sidelines, gets to play the next week in the Grey Cup, and over the offseason, the CFL forgot about it. Look, I am as Joe CFL guy as there is. I owe everything I have to the league. But they wonder why they get made fun of.
Yep.
It's things like this.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing, almost.
Like, is Randy Ambrosi pounding tables and kicking over stools in the office this morning, saying, how do we let this go? I would hope, because it does all come down to him, does it not?
What do you mean, how do we let this go? How do we let this go? Because doesn't it fall on him to say?
Well, does everything fall on him? I'm not sure.
I think he can make those decisions. It'll fall on the director of officiating or whatever, whoever hands
what are
the
we talking about?
Discipline.
Are we talking about them forgetting about the Jonathan Rose incident over the offseason and he doesn't suffer any discipline at all for roughing up an official?
Lawrence.
And then this Simone
Lawrence. Who decided that the maximum fine would be allowed and not suspension?
Well, where are we going here? That's my question. What exactly are we saying? The fact that he's named player of the week has the opportunity to be named player of the week.
I don't think that matters. Player of the week is just a...
Oh, I know what they're saying.
You're celebrating the guy. It's on your Twitter account. Him smiling.
Right.
And he shouldn't even be playing.
But to defend the league, their response, I would think, as they're sitting there today, would be, well, we let him play. So if he's going to play, of course he's going to have a chance to be player of the week. He just set a record for tackles. We can't tell him, okay, you're allowed to be part of this team, you're allowed to be part of this league, but you can't win anything, you're really not allowed to be celebrated, don't sell any Simone Lawrence jerseys, we're just going to let you play, but we're going to keep you in handcuffs. See, if you're going to suspend him, if not, then of course he's open to winning player of the week, but the argument is we get an opportunity, he has an opportunity to be celebrated when maybe he shouldn't be playing.
You got the NFL and the NHL sending very clear messages,
yeah,
and the CFL's just piddling around. That's the difference. You want to be considered in the stratosphere of those leagues, then right. Act like it.
They have a performance-enhancing drug protocol. You get 2 games for your first, right? And then you get 4 for your second, then it's a...
Season ban.
So why is a headshot the opposite? You get 2 games for your first headshot of the year, then a fine for your second one?
Going down.
That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they felt that the severity of the hit wasn't as severe
that
as the first
matter.
One. It shouldn't.
He's targeting the head.
Oh, I know. He did it in both instances.
But they did defenseless.
We need to pause, boys. We'll be right back. Ty, watching our social media advisor, can you put up Ty's comment? Can you find it and go back to the comments? Clark, He said, can we talk about the viewer total? Here it is. Can we talk about the live viewer number? Business is booming. And it is. And yesterday was our fourth highest viewed show of all time. I thought it was the highest viewed of all time, but apparently the Weston Dressler episode was the number one of all time, which stands to reason, right?
Oh, yeah.
But business is booming, and we're in the business of being in business, and it's booming. We'll be back. Donnie Hewitt coming up today. Jim Lang, our NFL insider, and so much more. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com, and do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel for all the best clips.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, Canada. And Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday morning. Sports update, as compiled by Connor the intern, Max Scherzer throws the first pitch of this year's baseball playoffs when the Washington Nationals take on the Milwaukee Brewers in the NL wildcard game at Nationals Park. Hockey fans are counting down the hours. The NHL season kicks off tomorrow with four games. The action will get started in Toronto with the Maple Leafs taking on Ottawa. And the Oilers, home to the Vancouver Canucks. Evander Kane suspended three games for shoving an official on the weekend in NHL preseason play, so he's gone for three to open the year for the Sharks. And in the NFL Monday Nighter, the Steelers defended home field by beating the rival Bengals 27-3. That is your Tuesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. The most fun you can have with your clothes on. I came up with that, not them. But tonight is our first indoor baseball game there with our league, the Great Western League, at Ballers. It's going to be great. We mentioned that our director of officiating is here, Taylor Shire from Global Regina. We welcome the peerless Don Hewitt from CTV Regina, the first gainer, the gopher. How you doing, Don?
Well, I don't think Evander Kane would have shoved Taylor Shire. Taylor Shire is a big bruiser. Yeah, I didn't realize he was such a big bruiser.
He is a big kid. Yeah, he looks like a ref. I think you're in the wrong business. What do you like better, reffing or being a sportscaster?
Being a sportscaster during the week and reffing on the weekends.
You got the perfect
lighting. Good combination.
You got the perfect
light. Both are great.
Don,
a good seat for every sporting event, right?
Yeah, exactly. Of all our topics here this morning, and there have been several.
Yeah.
You've been sitting in the live studio audience until you came on set here.
Yep.
Well, I read your latest blog on the controversy of rider receivers, so I do want to brush on that. Right. Simone Lawrence named Player of the Week by the CFL when he probably should be suspended for the year. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if people agree or not.
Mm-hmm.
Charleston Hughes thinking that he should be the most outstanding player of the year in the CFL.
Good for him.
Somebody should tell me he's got two more months left to prove that. And we haven't even talked about the Montreal Canadiens opening their season. I don't even know who they got. So where do you want to start?
Well, I got a good seat in your live section. I got row E, seat 18 over there
in the live studio audience.
Yep. So I was very happy. But of course, well, it's a no-brainer. You start with the Montreal Canadiens.
Sure.
Absolutely. And then they've got, you know, two rookies made the team, a former Pat, Cale Fleury, and of course, Suzuki. And at the Memorial Cup, when the Pats were playing Hamilton in the semifinal, something happened in that game. And after it happened, and this man sees it as a referee. After it happened, I said to my good friend, Will Egan, who I was at the Memorial Cup with, he is going to play for the Montreal Canadiens. And what happened with Cale Fleury? He will give him a few years, and I guarantee he's going to make the Montreal Canadiens. And what happened was, at the start of that semifinal, of course, Hamilton had run Sault Ste. Marie out of the rink on the Ontario final that year. They were a big, bruising, physical club. And you could see right off the bat, there was no doubt about it that Hamilton was going to try to do the same thing to the Pats in that semifinal and just run them out and intimidate them, push them around. And that was going on for, I can't remember, maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes in the game. And they were pressing the Pats, and it looked like this is, I don't like the looks of this here. And then Cale Fleury took about a 40-foot run at one of the bigger, tougher guys in Hamilton, and just grazed him. But if he would have ever connected, it was a big enough collision just on a graze because he was going full bore at the Hamilton player. And if he would have ever connected, I don't know what would have happened. But as soon as he did that, and it looked, and it was a vicious attempt of a physical hit by Cale Fleury.
And you liked it, or you didn't like it?
I loved it because as soon as he did it, the game changed. And Hamilton saw, we can't run these guys out. And the game changed. And as soon as I saw that, so hats off to Cale Fleury because he's a heck of a talent. He's lost a few pounds to play at a faster pace in the NHL. And he's made the Montreal Canadiens as a former Regina Pat. It's wonderful to see.
Yeah, a lot of comments coming in this morning congratulating Cale. And from Kootenay Ice fans, because that's where he came from, right?
Yeah.
Was Cranbrook.
And it was a great pick because he was like a minus 65.
Yeah.
On the Kootenay ice, and the Montreal Canadiens picked him because Kootenay was so bad, and the minus 65 had nothing to do with him.
Yep, absolutely.
So it was really brilliant.
So there's one, Cale Fleury making the Habs. Kudos to all involved. Two, let's go to your column. The CFL's newest blogger's right here, Donnie Hewitt.
And I've heard rumors, and these are just rumors, that Rod doesn't agree with my opinion.
On Jordan Williams-Lambert?
Right.
Let's hash it out.
We have different opinions.
This is perfect. Our director of officiating is here. Donnie, will you recap for our viewers? My good friend Bob Marier is watching from Montreal this morning. Good morning, Bobby. And he's a Habs fan, but also a CFL fan, too. So rehash this, if you don't mind, for those that didn't. I can't imagine anybody didn't read your blog at ctvregina.ca, but or ctvregina.ca, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
Tell the folks what it was.
Well, The question is, do the Rough Riders have a receiver controversy? And I would have to say they do. From what I've seen, I think I'm the only guy with my stance. Former players agree with what you were saying, I believe, yesterday and today on the topic. But my feeling is that Jordan Williams Lambert has to play. He's in the prime of his career. If you want to win a Grey Cup, if you want to win a West Final in Calgary, if you even want to win a semifinal, you have to have the maximum amount of players in the prime of their career. Manny Arsenault is not in the prime of his career. And if team chemistry was interrupted because you make one change at a receiver position, then they didn't have team chemistry to begin with. And I do believe that they do have team chemistry. Williams Lambert is a nice guy. Manny's a nice guy. They do have team chemistry. They do have good team leaders. I think if they made that switch, it wouldn't alter team chemistry in the least.
Your take, Taylor?
The leadership is the one stat, I guess, that you can't measure. And yeah, you can look at Manny Arsenault's numbers. And he got his first touchdown pass on a great play last week. But you can't measure the leadership that he offers. So taking him out of the lineup, he can still bring the leadership to the locker room. But I don't know if they want to mess with that right now. They're on a roll. They're playing good. Why would you tinker with it? Yes, you're. And even when Jordan Williams Lambert signed, Craig Dickinson said, we brought him in to play. 3 weeks later, for whatever it's been, he hasn't played yet. And Naaman Roosevelt's the other guy, but he provides that same leadership, I think. That veteran presence that's in the lineup. He's huge on second downs. So if you want to call it a controversy, they don't have a controversy right now, but if you put Williams Lambert in, I think you create one.
Nice.
Well, so we do have different opinions.
Different opinion. Yeah. Well, yeah. Mine That's is okay. this. For That's one, right. yep. Taylor, you're down there covering the team every day, but nobody knows outside that team who's bringing what in terms of leadership and who's actually in that locker room. I don't know what Manny Arsenault brings in terms of leadership. I was around Jordan Williams Lambert as recently as last year, but I think it's deeper than that. It's Jordan Williams Lambert went to the NFL. He exercised his option. The Riders sent him with their blessing to the Chicago Bears, opened a window allowing him to go. They didn't have to do that, guys, as you know. And he gets cut, comes back. Well, they had to patch a hole when he left, and maybe that was signing Manny Arsenault. They had to make plans that he wasn't going to come back at all. And now just because he's back, you're supposed to just automatically open up a spot in your roster for him when you're 9-4, and it's very clear that you've got tremendous chemistry in your locker room. That's what I think it is. You left. Now you got to wait your turn to come back. Because, Donnie, as I read at the tail end of your blog every week, you've been covering the Riders since 1979. Do we not think that right. Jordan Williams Lambert can at least just wait his turn? That somebody's going to get hurt somewhere down the stretch here?
And you know what? You bring up a point because it's very unusual that this team has not, you know, had an injury in their receiving corps. Kenny Stafford, as I mentioned in the column, he hasn't played yet. He's a pretty good CFL receiver. Yeah. So he hasn't played because they haven't had any injuries. And let's knock on wood.
Yep.
That even bringing this up, they're not going to get any injuries. But, you know, my feeling is if you take a look at a team who's over the last number of years been the best team in the CFL, Calgary, who's the best team over the last number of years in the NFL, the Patriots, those teams have very few players that are not playing in the prime of their careers. A few, but there aren't many. And to me, Jordan Williams Lambert is faster, and they need the team speed in order to beat Hamilton and Calgary. I mean, right now, I'm not discounting Winnipeg, giving them a very good go Saturday. Don't get me wrong, but the two teams to beat to win the Grey Cup probably are Calgary in the West Final and Hamilton in the Grey Cup. We saw what Hamilton's defense did to Winnipeg. I mean, they just totally disillusioned Strievler in that Winnipeg offense. If you want to beat those two teams who are going to be really fast, I mean, the two things about those two defenses is they're very quick and they're very fast. If you want to beat them, you need Jordan Williams Lambert in your lineup, not Manny Arsenault. And if you read my blog, it's not a knock on Arsenault in any way. It's Arsenault is a revered, respected receiver, one of the best that's ever played in the CFL. He brought in that big play chain. He's 8-1 when he's playing in the lineup of Saskatchewan. I mean, there's nothing but good things to say about him, really. And I didn't realize that I would see the speed he showed, be it the Toronto secondary, which is probably the worst in the league. But I didn't think I'd see the speed I saw on that 55-yard touchdown that I did see there. But The Toronto secondary is not the Calgary secondary. It is also not the Hamilton secondary.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, for whatever reason, the viewers are getting fired up this morning.
Yeah, because you they like this? Arsenal. I get that. Well, Wayne, I like them too.
But. Wayne in Victoria, B.C. writes in. He says, would Huffnagel choose Manny over Jordan Williams-Lambert? Well, the first thought to that is, who cares what Huff thinks? But my second is that he is the winningest coach. He's the GOAT. He's the Bill Belichick. So I could see where they're coming from with that. But it's still not his team. It's Saskatchewan's team. And secondly, Craig in Regina, your buddy Craig in Regina,
yeah,
writes in and he says, are you telling me that if Brian Peters comes back, he wouldn't be in the lineup because we have good chemistry?
That's correct.
Put the best players in, they'll gel, and we'll have the best roster possibly. No, you're wrong. If BP came down here, he would not. They're 9-4. They're the hottest team in the CFL right now. As I said, you lop off the opening two games, which was just an extended training camp. They're actually 9-2. One of the best teams in the Canadian Football League. You're not putting Brian Peters on the field right now as soon as he shows up because it's an insult to the guys that have fought to get to them where they are. And that's how, by the way, Craig Dickinson rolls. Maybe Chris Jones wouldn't. Maybe Corey Chamberlain wouldn't. But this is how Craig Dickinson rolls and Jeremy O'Day, too. Tell me I'm wrong. That's why I don't think Manny, you know, people are saying Manny's going to be the odd man out. Why? What would make you say that? He wasn't the last two games when Jay Will came back.
Because Manny's looked slower than he has in previous years. He's definitely taken a step back. He's coming off that knee surgery. He's not the same Manny Arsenault that he used to be in terms of being the elite receiver in the CFL. But he can still make catches. We saw last week he had three or four catches and that touchdown pass. But he brings that leadership, and I think that's very important. And Naaman last week had, what, 5 for 65?
Yeah, all those guys had great games.
So which guy do you take out? Naaman is such a good second down guy. And
Manny, or why do you have to?
You don't right now, right? You maintain the status quo. I think that's important. To just keep everything the same because you're rolling along. Jeremy O'Day right now is sitting back. The trade deadline's next week. I don't imagine anybody's going to be making any moves, especially the Riders. They don't trade Williams-Lambert because they don't have a need elsewhere.
Right.
And so Jeremy O'Day right now, he's sitting back, probably his feet up in his chair. It's a good problem to have. Too many talented players on your roster.
It is, yep.
It's a good problem to have.
Well, somebody wrote into my website on the weekend and said that Jeremy O'Day has done more in 6 months than Chris Jones did in 3 years. And whether that's right or wrong, that's what this guy feels. And you could debate that. It's going to depend how this all ends. But it's certainly trending right. Well for Jeremy O'Day. We'll continue this and more coming up in hour two. Our NFL insider, Jim Lang, will be joining us from Toronto, Canada's foremost expert on the National Football League. Our director of officiating, Taylor Shire, is with us here. You love that, don't you, Don? You love
I do.
It.
Yeah.
As I say, he is an ordained...
He's the director of officiating.
Official with the Saskatchewan Hockey Association.
And we have to show him the respect he deserves.
Exactly.
As the director
I appreciate
of officiating.
That. You didn't even know he was a ref. Look what you're learning every time you
but
come
I
in.
I like it. I don't know. I
we all love it.
It's a good nickname.
It's a different perspective.
The director of officiating. And Donnie Hewitt here from CTV Regina. Next hour, you brought it up. The trade deadline is, or one of you guys did, the trade deadline is next week, October the 9th.
Yep.
And although none of us expect the Rough Riders to be active, and that includes dealing their receivers, there will be some action, I think, across the CFL. It was our poll question yesterday. Who is the most attractive quarterback prior to the trade deadline? James Franklin won the poll, by the way, by a nose ahead of Antonio Pipkin. We'll talk about that and more next hour. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show live on Facebook and listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.